Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. Robert Digital here with Ender's Logic.
Because you can't game while you're at a funeral.
At least you're not supposed to.
That's true.
It would be rude.
And it'd be tough to have a little earbud in your ear while you're at it, too.
Yeah.
You'd have to hide that shit.
Yeah, I think it's possible. So we should probably mention we are gone one host today. Chad is not with us.
I fired him.
Kicked him off the show.
Fuck him.
Creative differences. No, we're kidding. He'll be back next week.
Yeah, he's off in Vegas having a great time, I think. He hasn't texted me once, so I think he's having a really good time.
He must be having a good time.
Yeah.
All right. So what should we start with? I think we should get right into this Valve doc. Like, I think that's kind of fresh on our brains, and damn, was that good.
It was really good. I think it's good for even people that don't play. Honestly, I think it's just a solid doc. I watch more documentaries than any other kind of video. I mean, all I do is watch Vice or like real documentaries, long form. And that's probably 80% of what I watch. And this stood out as a very good documentary, just all in out. Not a good gaming doc, just a good doc.
Yeah, I mean, before we even get into its content, I think it's just great that this shows that Valve is capable of making really good, watchable documentaries. And, of course, I was really interested. I'm not too interested in Dota 2, but, you know, video games, esports, that's totally interesting to me. So I liked the content. Not that long, 75 minutes, just over an hour. Did not overstay its welcome, but a really good look at kind of the rise of esports, the people that are involved with it, how it kind of affects how it affects like the players and the home life, yeah. And kind of how it's viewed in different cultures. Like, I feel like here in the United States, we aren't really accepting of people who spend that much time and put that much energy into playing a game professionally.
Right.
But in Asia, Korea, China, it's a little more accepted and a little more commonplace.
Yeah, I mean, if over there they were saying how the Korean soccer team looks up to the StarCraft players.
Yeah, I like that story. They said the in order to like pump up the Korean soccer team, they brought in professional StarCraft players into the locker room before the game to kind of get them hyped.
And one of the players that they followed, the guy from the Ukraine, he has more of Twitter followers than their soccer team as well.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot. Soccer is huge around the world. So.
Oh, yeah. Soccer is like the biggest sport around the world. And yeah, in America, I don't think it's not that big of a deal. Nobody really knows a lot of professional gamers, but in other countries like Korea and StarCraft 2, like, their professional gamers in StarCraft 2 are like celebrities.
Yeah.
And that's something like girls kind of look for in a guy. Like they kind of chase the StarCraft 2 players.
So crazy.
I know, isn't that...
And over here, like, that instantly turns people off. Even if I was a competitive gamer and that's how I made my living, that would still probably be looked down on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably not something that you would put on a profile on eHarmony.
Yeah. Yeah, you would put computer tech, not video game tech or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought that part was really interesting, just kind of like the cultural differences, how big Dota 2 is in China. I feel like maybe Smite is going to be like a European thing. I don't know, maybe I'm misreading that, but do you feel like Smite's really going to take off in Europe?
I think it's going to take off in China once the whole Tencent thing is...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, because it came out, but I don't think they've done their, like, official launch yet. I think they're going to launch simultaneously here and there. You know, it's getting really close. Apparently, it's going to launch with two new gods and a redo of an old one.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many gods is that going to put them at total?
I don't know. Closer to 50 than 40.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wow. That's
awesome, right?
Yeah, and that is days away. And watching this documentary almost made me want to get back into those kind of competitive games.
Yeah.
You know, at first I was like, man, I want to play some Dota 2. But then I was like, Nah, that went away real quick.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing, too. They made that game look way cooler than it actually is.
Yeah.
Not to say it's not cool, mm-hmm. but first of all, it was probably that the resolution on the game that they were showing was super duper high.
They did some cinematic stuff, probably in Source Filmmaker.
Yeah, and to match what the game that was going on. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. But those who have never played Dota don't know that those cinematics don't happen naturally. Yeah. Right? But if you're a gamer and you're watching this doc, you probably can tell what's going on.
Well, I kind of like...
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's great to look at. And I think it was better for people who don't really know what Dota's about. And that's a lot of people out there who are not familiar with the game. Even if they are a gamer, they may not be familiar with Dota and how MOBA works. But I think it was good that they didn't really get too involved on the intricacies of the game, and they kind of focused more on the human aspect.
Yeah, for sure. They could have really focused. At the very, I would say the first 10 minutes, I'm like, oh man, this is going to be an hour commercial for Dota 2.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that at all. It was much. And you know what? They showed the dark side of competitive gaming. You know, because all these guys are so young, they're not established in their lives. So they're getting outside pressures that are super, as if it's not. It's tough being a teen anyway, right? Because you don't know which way you're going. These guys actually have a focus in life, but there's such a negative connotation with mm-hmm. that whole thing. You know,
a lot of pressure from their parents. That one guy from Oregon got kicked out of his house.
Yeah,
and he
I could not believe what he was gaming on, dude.
Oh yeah, he put together that ratty machine, like with just like hand-me-down parts, and put together a computer to play on. I guess that's why they make Dota so low res. So. You know, anyone can do it.
Amazing, dude. Like, and he was like, I play just as well on here that I do. Like, that dude is hardcore, man.
And who was that? That was Fear.
Fear, yeah.
Something Loomis. I can't remember his first name.
The best American player.
Yeah, he's he coaches a team in San Francisco now. But, you know, I got to say, like, they really did kind of build those people up to be, like, heroes in, like, the future of esports. And, you know, and... On one hand, I kind of like to see that. And on the other hand, I'm just kind of like, you know, that's really painting a picture for people, like kind of glamorizing this maybe a little too much, because there's a lot of people who spend 15 hours a day playing Dota 2 and they're never going to get anywhere near the competition.
Right.
And at that age, you know, if you game professionally, those skills don't transfer over into another job. That's not something you put on a job application. You know, that
dude,
can...
That- directly translates into blowing people up with drones.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Maybe when the military has that technology, then it'll be.
Dude, don't you remember America's Army?
No. Is that a what is that?
The U.S. Army put out a video game that wasn't too bad. I mean, it was Counter-Strike-esque or whatever.
I feel like they do that a lot.
Yeah.
I haven't. Maybe I have heard of this specific one.
And
oh,
then
I
they
have,
like
yes.
try to hire the top players.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's the way things are headed. You know,
I don't know, man. Is this should we quit our day jobs?
Well, apparently it's too late for us, because once you're 27, that's it. They said.
Really?
Remember that guy? He was saying how your clicks per minute and your reaction times drop after 27. So there's no Dota players that are over 27. I think is what he said.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's depressing.
Yeah.
That's how old do football players play? If they don't get injured, that is. Like,
I think maybe 30, 31.
It's 30, 31. Bad. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a pretty
unless
low
unless you're
cutoff.
Like a kicker, you can go pretty far. I mean, or a quarterback, you can go pretty far. But.
Yeah. Well, maybe they need like an old man's league or something like that. Man, we should start that up.
That's
here.
Cool, dude. I like it. I like it.
MLG for old dudes.
And it starts at
well,
30.
Hey, they got like MLG for girls, right? Like they do split it by sex and gender.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a free doc. It's on Steam. If somehow you don't have Steam, just get it for this doc. It's free. It's all free. So
definitely worth checking out. Just a great doc in general.
It's in 1080 too, I think, right?
Yeah, great resolution.
It was beautiful.
Is this the first time you've seen a movie in Steam's movie?
I really liked it.
It's a pretty clean setup. I watched Indie Game the movie in it before, and it's changed since then too. And I like the improvements.
Any fucking player that you can pause with hitting the space bar, I'm happy with.
Like, yeah.
And when one doesn't do that, I'm like, what?
Yeah, what the hell?
Where you been? What are you doing?
Like, that's the control that makes the most sense out of everything. Yeah. So, today, or this weekend, was free weekend, Payday 2. A lot of people playing it. I was a big fan of the first one. I found it a little glitchy and kind of buggy. So I was really excited when I heard a second one was coming out. I was like, well, maybe they kind of like polished it up a bit. And I was really happy with the second one. Probably played about 30 hours of it and then have not played it since until this weekend.
Yeah, he was playing basically because it was free, and you know, his buddies were all these cheap buddies, including me, would be playing. And I don't know why I was so reluctant the first time. I think it's because I heard you and another dude go in, and you guys were on Skype with me, and you guys were playing that, and I was playing Smite or something. And you guys were just like trying on different clothes for like an hour.
No, that wasn't Payday 2. That was APB Reloaded.
Oh, I see. You can see how I was confused.
Yeah, there's some cosmetic customization in Payday 2, but not a whole lot. You got like four classes that you can build into. One's kind of a tank brawler type. One is more of a assault type, like taking out guys and helping out the teammates. Then you have your stealthy guy, and what was the last
technician?
One?
Technician.
Technician, enforcer, mastermind. And I cannot remember what the other one is. But you got a few different classes, so you fall into roles. And what I liked about this game is it really develops. So right now you're at the very, very early stage of it. And you go into a mission, and you're playing it cool. You're not trying to alert anyone to your presence. And it's a stealth game at that point. And then once you...
Doesn't last long with me around.
Yeah. Well, it never does.
Oaf.
Yeah. It never does at the when you first start playing, but that's the fun part about it. You do the shootouts, like as soon as you raise suspicion and you alert the guards, and then it becomes just like a shooter, hold them off type of game. But then as you play more and you level up your skills, it becomes this whole different game. Then you start like trying to do the missions through stealth. You try to be a little more crafty about it, and you get to really utilize all the skills that you branch into. So,
so just to sum it up, it's a four-player co-op, simultaneous. If you've ever played Left 4 Dead, it's very similar to that, but it's not as much traveling. Like, it's not a linear level. It's just a static level. It's just like maybe one building or two buildings, and you go in there, you do your dirt, and then the cops come. You got to hold them off. Then you got to get to the car. That sums it up. There's a lot more depth to it than that, but essentially that's what it boils down to. It's a lot of fun. It's not like you're picking a class. You can go hybrid. There's just different skill trees, and you could go down whichever ones you want. I think I'm going down tactician because I'm starting to learn how important drills and breaking safes is, and he's the best at that. So.
Yeah, because that you get the maximum payout when you do that. Yeah. So, yeah, you go into a map, you have objectives that you complete, and there's several ways to complete these objectives. You can just go loud, guns blazing, or you can do it stealth, or there's several other options. And you get to be the bad guy in this game, which is kind of cool.
I feel like the first two levels, I felt bad shooting all these cops, man. There was a lot of cops.
A lot of cops.
Yeah.
Well, it starts out with like the mall rent-a-cops or like the, you know, the normal local police department. And then they bring in the SWAT, and then they bring in special forces. So it ramps up in the higher difficulties.
And there's a lot of well thought out things in this game. Like, you know, you take your hostages, you don't kill them. And then if one of your guys gets captured, you can trade them for that guy. That's really cool. But you got to keep those hostages alive. So you can tell them to get up and move them over to other rooms where it's going to be safer for them so they don't get caught in the crossfire. And you're pretty high level. You're like 72. You were able to like mind control dudes, basically. You like beat them into submission. You got a lot of like shout commands and stuff. It's really cool. And then it's like you called me over. You're like, yell at this guy, yell at him. So I'm like yelling at him, and the guy's like cowering in the corner. And eventually he's like, okay, I'll fight for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of fun stuff you can do in this game. They've changed a few things. Like with the civilians, when I first played, you could not move the civilians. And I like that they recently came out with a DLC, a new level, the one that we played today with the voting machines.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was rough.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Yeah. The funnest one, I gotta say, is when you're smuggling the drugs, though. You've gotta steal all this cocaine, and then you've got to throw it on a boat. There's a part where you get caught, you get surrounded by the cops in your getaway vehicle, and they pull out the blowtorches and start, like, sawing into your, into the, yeah, this big truck that you're in. And then they kick open the door, and you just, like, there's smoke everywhere, you just pour out guns blazing. It's pretty epic.
I haven't done that one yet.
Yeah, that's a harder one, but we should definitely do that.
Yeah.
But I like how they're, it was published by 505 Games, who does not have the best track record, but the developers are Overkill, and I feel like this is, like, the only thing that they've done, and, like, they're a subsidiary of some other company, but they are, a game like this, you play through content, and eventually you're just doing the same levels over and over again, so I think it's important that they put out DLC, new guns, new maps especially.
The replayability is super high, though, because, you know, the buildings will have different layouts, random things. Like, we were doing the voting machine ones. The voting machines were in random different places.
Yeah, objectives will be in different locations. Yeah.
And the rooms will be switched around, and doorways will be in different places. So the replayability is super high, I think, for each level, I mean.
Yeah.
And I'm having a great time with the game. Like, you really feel like, fuck, I got to get to that truck. You're pulling, you're carrying a bag, and you're looking behind you, and you're covering each other. It's a lot of fun, and you're barely getting there, you know?
Yeah, the game itself is just a lot of fun. There's a lot of just really dramatic moments. Like, your buddy's downed, you know, he's got to be helped up. He's on the other side of the map. You're just like, I'm coming for you.
And, yeah.
You know, you're shooting your way across, like, trying to make it to him, trying to be the hero. Like, you really get into it. But, and it's just a big improvement, like, control-wise. It's got much better game feel than the first one did.
I was pleasantly surprised at this. And it's a free weekend right now, but I'll probably pick it up. Because if you have four people looking for something to play, this is a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. This or maybe Monica.
Great game. Yeah, and it's on sale for, like, $10 while the weekend goes.
Yeah. How long ago did this game come out?
Within the last year, the sequel came out. I think it was somewhere in 2013, maybe during the summer or the end of summer that I was playing it a lot. And I knew, like, when it came out, this was a game that I was going to get.
Yeah.
And I think I held off for a little while. As soon as it went on sale for, like, $5 or $10 off, like, not that much off, but, you know, like, I still bought it for a fairly high price.
And the music's great, too.
Oh, yeah, great music. It was actually on my top 16 songs.
Yeah, for PC gaming.
Yeah, it was on that.
And it seems to ramp up when the shit's getting crazy, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the guards are alerted, like, the music really kicks in, and, yeah, it gets you pumped. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at this, and it's, I'm looking at some Wikipedia pages. It looks like it was Overkill and Starbreeze Studios. Now, Overkill really hasn't done anything outside of this game. They've got a new one, a space co-op shooter coming out soon, but Starbreeze has done Enclave, that's an old game, Syndicate, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. It's a different kind of game.
Yeah, a bunch of different kind of game, different genres there.
Yeah.
Anytime a co-op pops up, man, I fucking love co-op. It's so much fun.
Yeah, co-ops are a lot of fun. And my friend who was playing with us today, he finally got his new computer, the last part of his new computer, and he got a new graphics card, so he's super excited, and I got a feeling we'll be seeing more of him. So
yeah, I think so too, man. You could hear it, like, I think he just realized how good PC gaming is right now. Like, he's re-finding out, and he's just like, he's like, man, you know, this is great. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, he's played computer games before. He's played a lot of console games. He's been kind of out of the loop for a while because he had a Mac that he did most of his computer stuff on.
Right.
But he recently just built a new computer to really get back in.
Just the one you built him?
No, he got all the parts, did most of the work. I helped him a little bit on it, but yeah, man, like, I feel, and he's a pretty technical guy too, so I think anyone who's a little technical, like, as soon as they get exposed to PC gaming, they're just like, it makes absolutely no sense to go with a console.
Yeah,
for sure. I feel like everyone's been kind of generally disappointed with the next gen consoles that have come out.
I mean, that's kind of what happened the first, last round as well.
You think
it takes,
so?
Yeah, for sure. People were like, oh, you know, it's not as good looking as I thought it was going to be. You know, the jump from PlayStation 1 to 2 was so big, And from 2 to 3 was not as big. And then 3 to 4 has not been as big either. So, and it takes developers a lot longer to be able to squeeze every bit out of those cards. Yeah. You know, they're just learning.
Yeah, well, we're getting to a point where it takes a whole lot to get a little, you know? Yeah. That's just how it is. So, you know, with these consoles coming out, yeah, they're going to be buggy. They may not look super great, but that's just the nature of the beast at this point.
You know what's cool is I think you could jump in and watch one of your friends play, see what he's playing. And on Steam, I've always wanted to jump in. Be able to do that, like be able to jump into see what you like. I wanted to see what you were doing in Xenoclash today.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about
a segue.
It's I wish Steam had some sort of that was smooth, but you ruined it again, man. You cannot you know, work on our segues. we should just have like 10 topics and see how fast we can segue through everything. But yeah, Xenoclash. Xenoclash 2. Man, this game is weird. So was the first one, though.
We talked about it a little bit last week. It was a mm-hmm. mushroom trip. That's a video game.
Yeah. If you're familiar with surrealism, when everyone asks me to explain surrealism, the best thing I can do is just say Salvador Dali or no. Salvador Dali.
Oh, you know, like Picasso, right?
Yeah, Picasso, kind of. I mean, I'm not huge on art. So I'm not going to try and talk like I know,
that
stuff.
No, do tell.
But yeah, it's just very trippy. If you have not played the first Xenoclash, like, don't play the second one. They pick up the storyline right where this one left off. It's a pretty interesting storyline. Like, you've got this primitive group of people in this this fantasy fictional area called Xenozoic, where all this happens. And I can't talk about it too much without spoiling it, because there's a lot of twists and turns in it.
How much are these games?
Xenoclash you could buy on sale for like $375. Same with the second one.
Hmm.
Now this is developed by Ace Team, I believe is the developer. They're from Chile.
Huh.
And the only games they made are Xenoclash, Xenoclash 2, and Rock of Ages. Did you ever play that one?
No, I never played it. I thought about buying it. It looks so crazy.
It is kind of fun. It's
got some weird people down there, man.
Yeah. It's like a weird version of bowling. But yeah, these are the only games that they made. And I think they're all fairly good. Like, I always felt Xenoclash was a little underrated. I really liked the surrealism. Like, they took it to such an extent that most games don't. Like, everything is just way out there. It's like Dr. Seuss land. Like,
yeah,
pretty
I played
much.
The demo, and I was like, fuck, what the shit
yeah.
is
and
going
even the
on
dialogue,
here?
Like, they really kind of put you in the setting. They make up, like, they have words that are obviously, like, made up and stuff, but, like, the language is different, the styles, the people.
So they're not speaking English, but you know what they're saying?
Oh, they are speaking English, but they have words like cack, which I'm pretty sure means fuck, and tef, which is like idiot, or like it's like a mean term, but there's like, you know, words
I see what
like
you
that.
See. You're getting it from the context.
Yeah. I almost feel like Xenoclash and Xenoclash 1 are like one game that they split up. I mean, the first one was only like 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
This one, I'm probably 2/3 of the way through, and I'm at 4 hours.
So are there any improvements?
You know what? They changed the game engine on this, and I don't think I like it. The first one had Source Engine, which is a great engine. I love the Source Engine. It's one of my favorite ones. And the second one the one they used in the second one was Unreal 3. And I don't know. I just don't know if it works that well for this game. I think the facial expressions and stuff and the mouth movements are a little better with the Unreal Engine 3, but Source Engine, I feel like, is much more of a realistic look on, like, the body and the characters. I noticed it right away, too. I was like, something's different. Something's off.
So, ultimately, download it, buy them, get them both for $7?
Yeah, get them when they're on sale. I would still recommend these games. They've got a, the last thing I should probably mention about these is they've got a heavy emphasis on hand-to-hand combat. It's basically a boxing game.
Yeah.
There are guns in there that you can pick up, but they run out of ammo fairly quick. And they've got a really interesting way of doing it. Like, you can lock on as you're strafing or moving around. You can lock on to certain targets, and then you can...
Do you like the combat?
Do I like the what?
The combat.
I do, yeah. It's a really fun part of the game. Like, you can jab, you can throw, like, hard hits, you can dodge and slip, like... block. It's pretty good. Like, I do enjoy the combat. It is a fun part.
What was the second game engine it was running?
Unreal 3.
Oh, and speaking of game engines, see how I did that?
There? Nailed it.
Epic and Crytek, and you know, is would you consider that an indie game? Who knows, right?
I don't know. See, I wouldn't have, but when I found out the developers, like, this is, they've only made three games, and they're probably a small, small team.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Epic and Crytek are having a subscription service for their engines. What this means is, for you know, acquiring the license to use a game engine is very expensive, and most indie developers can't afford that. That's like a big, that's, you know, one of the step. That's what maybe one of the things that big separators between indie and, you know, AAA or even somewhere in between. So having a subscription service brings down the cost considerably. And so the graphics for indie games are going to be going up quite a bit. Crytek, I mean, what is it? CryEngine 3 is one of the prettiest ones out there.
They're coming out with the
What's
fourth
it called?
One.
Snowfall? Snowflake? Something like that. Snowdrop? I think it's Snowdrop. Or am I way off here?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a different...
Anyway, so same thing. And then Epic makes which game engine?
Epic makes Unreal.
Unreal. Yep. So you'll be able, you know, you'll be able to see probably maybe even next time, this year, next time, this time next year, that the graphics on indie games are going to go up. And, you know, a lot of indie games have pushed their very cheap graphics and made them look gorgeous. You know, and if you take that creativity and you adapt it for a engine that already makes things look great, it should just come out that much better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this came up during GDC, which I believe is now over. But a lot of talk at the Game Developer Conference in San Francisco about engines, I felt. I mean, there was a lot of talk about other stuff, and we'll get into that, but like about engines especially. Unity has been a really popular engine with indie developers. Because it's so accessible and cheaper for them to use. Unreal used to be crazy expensive. Mm. But Unity, which we've seen in Gone Home, Rust, countless other games.
Oh, really? Rust?
Yeah, Rust.
Because Rust really does feel like a Half-Life engine to me. Source.
Really?
Yeah, when I play it, it just feels very...
I don't know. I feel like I can recognize the Source engine right off the bat, but there, if you look up like Unity engine games, like there are so many of them. Let me pull up a list here. But making the CryEngine and what was the other one? The Unreal Engine, a subscription service, making that affordable to indie developers. Like, I almost feel like indie isn't so indie anymore. Like, it's getting to that point where these indie games are like, pretty, I mean, they aren't AAA titles, but they're getting really good.
There's so many of them, too. I think there's more money in, it seems like there's more money in indie title because, well, there's more profit for sure because the development is so, you know, the development costs are way lower than, you know, a AAA. Way, I mean, astronomically less, like 100 times less. So, and then any profit you bring in from four guys working in their garage for 6 months. You know, they did that as a hobby, and then they're making $2 on the game. Each game, they're making good money if they made something really good.
Yeah, but I feel like it's not even just people in their garage anymore. You know, like that Gone Home game was one of the developers, Steve Gaynor, on that. He worked on BioShock. So you kind of have people who are, they work on big titles, and then they kind of do their own pet projects, their own little side projects.
Yeah.
And they develop games. And I don't know, it's great that they have, like, better tools to do it with.
For sure. And it's hard to, like you said, it's hard to call those indie, but I guess...
Well, the teams are getting kind of bigger that put these games together, but I feel like there's a need for that now with, it's almost like a dividing line. You're either a big giant studio, like Infinity Ward or something, pumping out yearly titles, making a huge profit, or, you know, like Assassin's Creed games or Batman games, or you're kind of like a smaller one.
It's hard to have like 1,500 employees, man. Yeah. On you know, when they're not, like just Chad said last week, you know, you're not using all those guys all the time unless you're pumping out AAA titles every, you know, 6 months, 4 months or so.
Yeah, and that was a really good point he made.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it'll be exciting to see what we get from that, what indie developers can do from that.
I'm all for it, man. I love these little indie games. It's just that there's so much, it feels like an avalanche of... I don't even look at the Greenlight titles anymore.
Did you hear that? I think they might be getting rid of that Greenlight.
Oh, really?
On Steam?
No, I haven't heard.
I think like it's not doing very well. Wow. It's not getting a lot of attention. There's a lot of crap coming in, and like people just haven't responded to it the way that they had hoped originally.
You know what Steam should do? Steam should have its own version of Kickstarter.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, within it. But one of the things, I think it's a Greenlight game, is Chroma. And this is the game that I told you last night, hey, I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. I think it'll be right up your alley.
Oh, yeah.
So it's made by, Jesus is going to kill me now, Harmonix. And I think they're...
Wait a minute, Harmonix? The guys who made like Guitar Hero or Rock Band?
Yeah. So they're a musically based video game company or whatever. And they're making a first-person shooter. And it's a team-based first-person shooter with five classes. Three of the classes, like the Heavy, the Assault, and the... I forget what it is. But it's more like an FPS shooter for them. Everybody's running around in an FPS, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're more standard FPS. But there's a sniper and a stealth guy. And they're more musically based. So... there's music playing the whole time, and if you do your actions corresponding with the music for those guys, you do like way more damage. And it looks pretty crazy. It's a very trippy looking game. It's going to be free to play. They promise it's not going to be pay to win, because it's only going to be cosmetic things that you can buy.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it just looks. I mean, as a concept, awesome. Like. I love people trying new shit. Even if they fall flat, they're trying new shit, you know? It's awesome.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at some screenshots right now. It looks very colorful, very, like, kind of futuristic.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's got a real, real nice, clean look to it.
Yeah.
A little and, robotic. Yeah. So, this has something to do with music?
Yeah, yeah. So, like I said, there's music playing. And to sum up kind of how it works, if the sniper... shoot during a downbeat, it's gonna like double the damage. And then I'm not sure exactly how it works for the rogue type character, but I think he probably moves faster in stealth when, you know, during certain musical segments or whatever.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it is. What a great
I love
concept,
when they incorporate music. There's a game called 140. Maybe you've seen it on Steam. Mm-hmm. It's a platformer, and you know how in platformers, like, you're trying to make your way across this level, and platforms will move or change level or be there 1 second and disappear the next. You know, standard things like that, and you've got to navigate your way across.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 140, or just 140, it's a platformer like that, but things disappear or move along with the beat.
Mm.
So they've got kind of this beat, bit trip runner tune going on, like this 8-bit tune, and then just like on the downbeat... like it'll shift, and it's almost easier to play that way because you listen to the music and you know exactly when that platform's going to be there, and you can jump on it and jump to the
for
next
some,
one.
For some, I'm sure it's probably even more difficult for
I don't know, I think everyone responds to music. Maybe not.
No.
No. I mean, I'm not like particularly like good with rhythm or anything like that, but I found it kind of made it easier, but... Man, that's going to be... That is an interesting concept.
So we're going over our notes today, and I say, dude, I have a note here, and I don't even know what it means. I have GFWL gone in July. Yay. That's what Yay. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I think it was like 4 in the morning last night when I wrote it down. So, and then you're like in 1 second, you're like, Games for Windows Live? And then, boom. I was like, man, that's why I keep you around. Things like that right there.
Oh, I'm familiar with GFWL, man.
Had you not done that, you would have won the way Jad went. I would have just fired your ass right there.
You're gone. Fuck. GFWL can go fuck itself.
Yeah, for sure.
I think everybody is happy about that.
Let's say what it is. Games for Windows Live.
Games for Windows Live.
Holy shit, man. Arkham City. Arkham Asylum. I had to log into the Games for Windows Live. Then I had to log into the game. Then I had to create an account. Well, I'm doing it out of order. I had to create a Windows for Live account, which was not easy. It wasn't. It was harder than most. Then I had to make an account with whoever made Arkham Asylum. Then I had to log into both of them. And it was just like, I think 15, 20 minutes had passed from me wanting to play the game after installed to actually playing. It was one of the worst before gaming experience I've ever had.
Yeah, it's terrible. I just had a conversation with someone the other night about L.A. Noire and Rockstar and Social Club. You know, if you play Max Payne 3, any Rockstar game, you have to do that whole Social Club thing. Right. Very similar. It's like you got to make an account. You got to sign in on this, on that. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But Games for Windows Live is like the biggest offender in my book. There's a game in my Steam library that I cannot play, Blacklight Tango Down, the first Blacklight, because of some miscommunication and some problem with Games for Windows Live when it first came out, or the first time I'd ever used it, and it has been a headache ever since. And now, they're saying that originally, Microsoft, when they posted this, there's a game called Age of Empires Online that relies on this, and they said they're going to shut the servers down for that as well. Which,
so the game's going to be dead?
Yeah, but then I guess they retracted that statement. Now, that's a game that I got really into for a while. That is maybe my third or fourth highest game hours played on Steam, surprisingly.
Nice.
But it really tailed off at the end. I haven't played it in years and no interest in going
back.
Thank
God.
But, yeah, I think it'll be nice to finally have this gone.
So you like that, but, I mean, have you ever tried Total War Rome or... Yeah, Rome Total War.
You know, I haven't, but I was going to bring that up later in the podcast with
How
something
cool
else.
How cool does that game look?
It does look very cool.
You watch fucking game footage of that. I could almost watch a Let's Play of that and enjoy it, kind of like a mini...
Like the History Channel.
Yeah,
or
yeah. It's
it looks
awesome,
like that.
Man.
Remember that show they used to have on the History Channel? It was like Great Battles of History or something. This was like years and years ago, so... They're like, we now have the technology to computer simulate these epic battles of history.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, they did.
And like they used Rome Total War, didn't they? The
maybe
engine? I think that a modified version of it.
They used the same engine that they use in games.
Yeah.
So it looked like a game, and they simulated what actually happened in the battle. And they had all the big ones, you know, Battle of Thermopylae, which is based off of, or what 300 is based off of, you know, all those big battles in history.
You know what's awesome, dude? Like, pretty soon, when people 3D render something like that, that whole world is pretty much, except for the angles that aren't shown, it's all rendered, right? So you're going to be able to strap on an Oculus and jump right into that battle and watch it first person. You
as
know?
A soldier or maybe as a, as anything, man. Just
dude,
like in the front line.
God damn, that's cool. Experience. Every time you die, you spawn as another guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to work up a sweat in my room, like, jabbing spears into the air, dude.
You will be able to live history. And you know what's going to be great, or not great, though, is, like, kids, whenever this comes out, kids are just going to be like, it's lame. Because kids always think things are lame, man. I don't know why.
What?
Yeah, they do. I don't know.
They're going to say, that's awesome. And then they're going to say, life is lame. Like, they're going to go outside.
You think so?
Yeah. They're going to see a rainbow with a fucking eagle flying through it that has a fish in its mouth. And they'll be like, oh, that's fucking stupid.
No. They're going to say, that's lame. I want to go play Flappy Bird. That's what's going to happen.
Speaking of Oculus, they came... Oh, so DevKit 2, version 2, is available in July. You can pre-purchase it now for $350. So the price has gone up $50. But for that $50, you're getting... Quite, I'm actually considering picking this one up, but I would have probably already had if my rig was in better shape. My rig, I'm having issues with it, thinking about upgrading. It's been about 2 years, which is about, right? Wouldn't you say about 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to get a new rig first, and then I will, by then, maybe, because this is DevKit 2. They're pushing back the official consumer model. They say that it's going to be you know, a bigger step than one was to two. The consumer model is going to be really good. So this is what the kit two has. It's 1080 per eye. Originally, they said that was going to be like 720 per eye, which amounts to 1080 mm-hmm. per eye. But
yeah, people are still having problems with the screen door effect because it's so close to your face. Even though the resolution is pretty high, it's so close to your face, you really notice the pixels. So something like this really does need high resolution.
Yeah. And so the motion blur is gone. They've taken care of that, and they have the motion tracking now. So, you know, you have a camera watching you, so it knows where your head is at all times. So, I mean, for $50, look at how much more you're getting. If you were going to do that in a TV, just going from 720 to 1080, you're talking about like $200, $300. I know that doesn't really make sense because you're talking about a lot less components. But still, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
$350 is still not a bad price point for this thing. I mean, no. They're estimating it'll be below $500. There's no guarantee that it will be, but... Still, you know, that's a great price. I'm definitely going to get one.
Are you thinking about this dev kit too, or are you going to think?
I'm going to wait on the dev kit because I feel like we're getting close to an actual launch.
Yeah. And there's going to be more games too. Yeah. By then. There's only like two real games out. Mm-hmm.
They're making very big promises with this, and I'm inclined to believe them. I'm usually very skeptical of these kind of things, but they have delivered. Like, they keep coming. They came in at E3 with the Crystal Cove. Now they're coming in at GDC with the RK2 or whatever they're calling this version. It's just every time they pop up, like every couple of months, it's just like, oh yeah, we added this. It's working. People are testing it and they're like, yeah, this is great. You know, this is the real deal.
I think that Valve jumping on board with all their information that they had already with their VR kit, you know, that really propelled them even faster. So this is, it's probably on the fast track. And I'm prepared to wait a year. Bring it out. Make sure it's cool.
Yeah, good things are worth waiting for. Absolutely. I mean, not only Valve getting involved, but you've got the one dude left id Software.
Yeah.
I can't believe I forgot his name.
I almost want to say Macklemore.
Macklemore.
But it's something like Carmack.
John Carmack, yes.
There was a Mac in there.
There we go. John Carmack left id Software to... really focus on the games, I think, which is really good because we're gonna see new kinds of games.
Absolutely, yeah. So, do I want to play TF2 on this? Probably not. Yeah. Do I want to play a sniping game on it? Probably not. This is an immersion machine. It's gonna put you in cool fucking places. You're gonna be like treasure hunting under the water with like sea monsters around and stuff like that. You know, or actually. As soon as I read this article on Alien Isolation, let me jump into that real quick. It's a new alien game. There's only one alien. You have no gun. You have to get one from point A to point B without it eating you, right? I don't think you can fight it. You might be able to fight it. I don't know, but I think it'd be more trap. Like, let me try to get it into this area so I can kill it that way. But it's more of a fear-based game. From the article that I read, it sounds like Amnesia, you know, where you gotta kind of hide from. But it is an alien. We're talking H.R. Giger's Alien. So you know, it's an homage to the original movie where there was only one alien.
I'm looking at the cover, the box art of this, and it looks very similar to the movie.
Yeah. So I was just imagining playing this in the Oculus that. Fucking hell, I'm not. Yeah. It's going to be so scary, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, fear-based games are going to be
a
whole new level of fear with that kind of immersion.
Could you imagine you're playing one of these games and somebody come and fucking grab your arm?
I think games like that and adventure games are really going to benefit from this. I know they talk to all the developers about VR, and they get their opinions on them, and Jonathan Blow, the guy who made Braid, he's been working on this game. Starts with a W. Oh God, what was that? But he's working on a new adventure game, and it's looking really good. And they asked him about VR, and he said, you know, at first I said no because there was nothing that great. But after playing around with the Oculus Rift and seeing what it can do, he thinks it'd be a great addition for this type of game. Mm-hmm. So I think those kind of games are really going to
benefit. So he's adapting the game he was already working on into this?
Yeah, it's called The Witness. And it's an adventure game with a ton of content, it looks like. Should be released fairly soon. I don't know if he's got a date, but it seems like the next year or two. But
it's going to make a point and click so much more immersive.
Oh, yeah. Because
point and clicks, point and clicks generally don't have mobs for the most part. I mean, enemies to kill you or whatever. So you can take your time and really get immersed in what the haunted house that you're in or whatever it is. And like to physically actually see your hand opening a drawer was way more immersive than just putting, you know, your cursor on it, clicking left click.
Yeah. You know who else is interested in this stuff too are movie directors. Because you can make, this kind of changes film a little bit too. You can make a movie specifically for this kind of device. You know, like when they first started making those 3D movies, the real 3D ones.
Yeah.
They always had a scene where they did it just because it was a 3D movie. The first 3D movie I ever saw with the real 3D was Valentine's Day. This cheesy horror movie, not very good at all. But there was a scene where a guy had a shotgun and he moves it from left to right, just kind of like looking out in the distance, trying to find someone with it. And you see the barrel of the gun just like come right at you across the screen. And so they always did those kind of things to really take advantage of the 3D. But with something like this, like who knows what they can do?
Dude, it's going to be like you're going to strap this thing on and you're going to play a real life version of Clue with a bunch of other strangers. You know?
Yeah.
And looking for clues is going to be actually looking for clues. Not like a room's going to be glowing red where there are clues in there somewhere. You're going to have to look at ceilings and look, you know, under stuff. It's going to be crazy, man.
I feel like this is the first, like maybe they could reinvent the chat room. Like those were big back in the 90s, you know? Like
I'll make myself a hot chick and like...
Yeah. You go to, you could go to virtual bars.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I thought of the best analogy. I felt like I kind of hated on free-to-play games a lot last week, but I thought of the best analogy for free-to-play games. Free-to-play games are like going to the bar. You can go there for free, but if you want to have fun, you got to spend some money.
That's absolutely true. That's pretty good.
Nailed it on that one. Yeah. So yeah, VR, more stuff coming. Gonna be great.
You got anything else?
Let's talk about... We can kind of get into what we're playing, what we're going to be playing. I've got a week off coming up here. Not this week, but the next week. I'm very excited about it. Going to LA for a little bit. But other than that, I'm probably just going to be playing a ton of games. And whenever I have some time off, I really think about what game do I want to get into. Like, I have the time. I can really sink my teeth into something. You know, last summer, I played the Mass Effect trilogy.
Yeah.
And that was amazing, an amazing experience. I wish I could relive that in, like, 2 hours. Like I just recorded everything and someone made, like a director made like a 2-hour highlight reel of all that stuff and I could just relive it in 2 hours because I don't want to spend another 70 to have that same experience.
Some people do that. They take games and then make movies out of them. They're on like YouTube. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. They did a great one with the Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
They cut some stuff out for time's sake, but it's still like 4 or 5 hours long.
Oh,
it,
really?
It is great from what I hear. I mean, I haven't sat through it.
I might do that because you know, I'm not going to play the game on a console, so...
Yeah, you might as well get the experience.
Only, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, with all this time coming off, I've got a few things on the table that I'm thinking of. You brought up Rome Total War earlier, and I've felt the need to get into a strategy or simulation game again. Like, I've not played a real-time strategy game, like a big, large-scale one, you know, like Shogun or something like that. So I'm thinking maybe that. SimCity now has offline mode. That's a possibility.
Rome's always so expensive. It's one of those ones that...
I already have it.
Yeah. Oh, you already have it. Did you pay $60 for it?
I got it on sale during the Steam...
Of course
you do. Yeah, during the winter sale, on the very last day of the Steam winter sale, I was like, whatever. I bought Rome Total War... the new Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed. I bought all the, like, the AAA titles.
Yeah. How much was it? Do you remember?
Rome itself?
Yeah.
$30.
It was normally it's like $60. Right now it's like $60.
It goes on sale a lot for half price.
This is one of those games, though, you take one look at it and you're like, oh, I can see where the $60 is.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm getting my money's worth, you know?
But surprisingly, the ratings are not that good. I don't know. Some people have complained about bugs and stuff, and
maybe it's
a lot of patches.
Do you know how much in... I don't think Metascores are in flux that much after the first month or so.
Yeah, that's true.
They should be, though. Some games are completely different games. Like, I've heard that Star Trek Online's really good now.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem with alpha games, too. It's like, well, when do you rate it? You know? When do you run the review on that? I mean, it's for sale. It's playable. People are playing it.
Official launch. I mean, yeah. That's why, like, Smite hasn't been reviewed by, you know, the big ones.
Yeah, I guess you have to.
But if you look at it, it was playable way when we got into it. But now, it's almost, I mean, it looks like a completely different game.
It's
gorgeous. You know, compared to what
we were graphically playing. It is a completely different game.
Yeah,
but I guess another sense.
Essentially, yeah, it's still the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, still a great game though.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Rome Total War, SimCity maybe. Also, one that I feel like everybody's in my ear about this game lately. Dragon Age Origins. I know that's a good game. I've heard it from multiple sources. Have not touched it. Might be time. I don't know. We'll see.
So one of those, huh?
Yeah.
Man, I wish I had your forethought. I'm kind of in this whole, I don't know what to play. You know, I've been sitting down. I've been very busy this week, and I'm going to be busy next week, too. And by the time I get home, I almost don't even have enough energy for gaming anymore. So I've been just watching tons of documentaries. It's like always, every day, Skyrim's like, come play me, you know, because I haven't got through the DLCs yet, and I really want to. But I think I kind of fucked up. I put myself in a bad spot in my last save, so I kind of just don't want to deal with that. I know it might take me a few minutes to get out of that. Because I'm in this cave, and I have realistic lighting on, and so you either have your torch or your weapon out, because I'm a two-handed guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the realistic lighting makes it realistic. I mean, this is a cave. There's no other light except for your torch. And the enemies, they can see fine, even though they're humans, fuckers. And so I'm kind of swinging in the dark. And I know there's mods that you can have like a magic lamp following you, or you could put a lamp on your belt. But I feel these are unrealistic things. Well, actually, the lamp on your belt isn't unrealistic. But I don't know. So I don't know what I'm going to do with that. That's why I haven't gone back to that game. I'm really liking Payday. I think anytime we have more than two people, it'll be great. Even with three people, we run into the problem of the randos just being shit.
Yeah, well, you got to understand that it's a free weekend.
Yeah.
Payday's in like the top 5 or 10 games being played right now on Steam. There are a ton of people playing. They're all new. None of them know what they're doing. They're shooting my minion.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah,
like, we kept telling him, like, dude, stop.
Like, if a guy is highlighted in blue, like that, you know, that's like a universal game sign that this dude's cool. But no, they kill him. But yeah, so that will definitely dissipate. Eventually with Payday 1, like, it was kind of hard to get a group of people together. And, of course, I first played both those games with just a bunch of randos, and it is so much better. Like having people on Skype playing. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
A great experience.
That goes with just about anything.
Yeah.
Hey, so fuckers, join our Steam group. Friend request us and we'll add you so we can have a gaming community on Steam. There's a lot of you now, but our gaming group only has like 10 people in it. I don't know if people are being shy or what's going on, but definitely.
Yeah, we don't want to spam invites like...
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to be spammers, but... Yeah, we were always down to play. Definitely Payday 2, though, dude. I'm so glad that friends of mine are finally getting on board with that game. That is an awesome one.
I haven't even brought this up with you, but I was looking at the iTunes, and our most popular, the one that's popular, is always the first one. And I think, like, a lot of people are, like, searching for... These are people that are not seeing from my forum posts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to... You know, they're just looking for PC Gaming Podcast, and then they download that first one. What a piece of shit that first one was, though. You know what I mean? I think if I jumped into a podcast, I wouldn't download the first one. I would download the
latest one.
See, I'm a
start at the beginning kind of guy. I would do that. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend it in this case. You got to understand you're not going to get quality material.
Yeah, that's back when we were doing all our segments and stuff.
Yeah.
Although the music was great.
Yeah, we had a lot more music in it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what else I've been playing this week, too? And I got to bring this up because I keep forgetting to. But the Banner Saga. Fairly new game. And, you know, the only way we can describe games anymore is by comparing them to other games. So this game is a mix of Oregon Trail and XCOM. That's the best way I can put it. The animation's great. It's like the original animated Hobbit movie, like the 8 frames per second. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like the original Hobbit movie.
This, from outside, it really looked like that game would play like Dragon Ace or whatever that game was.
Oh, Dragon Slayer?
Yeah, Dragon Slayer. Mm-hmm. It's not like that, though.
Did you know that game is in the Hall, or the, not the Hall of Fame, but what's that, the Smithsonian?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that game is apparently history. I remember playing that in the arcade. That's not a good game, though.
No, it's not a good game. It's a reflex game, a memory and reflex game.
Yeah.
But it's gorgeous.
I mean, and it rewards you with, like, the story that plays out.
Did you ever play the hologram version?
Yeah, that one was a pain in the ass. Yeah, that... I could never figure that out when I was younger. I was so frustrated with that game. And there's a Space Age one by the same animator. The animation is great. Yeah, it's got that old 80s animation.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's got great animation. The Banner Saga, like it's all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you travel across this map and it looks just like Oregon Trail, where you guys are marching on with your army and, you know, something will happen and pop up in a situation will come up that you have to deal with, and you will lose or gain men or supplies.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's good. And in the combat, like when you run into people and you have a battle, you position your characters, turn-based, tactical combat.
That's when it turns to that. Okay.
A lot like XCOM, but I'm just now kind of getting into it. I think I'm a couple hours deep, so I'm kind of leveling the characters
up. So I'm imagining when you're traveling, it's like it's showing your caravan from far, and then when you fight, it's more close up?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little more zoomed in.
That's a little up my alley, I think.
Yeah. And it's got that fantasy fiction storyline to
Did
it.
Did you pick up Enemy Within, XCOM?
I have not picked that up yet. And I don't really like...
I really like that first game, but I don't know if I want to go down that road again. There's just...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on the same boat with you. Like, I really like the first one, but...
Like as soon as
I beat it,
done.
I was over it completely. Yeah. But I do recommend that game to a lot of people.
That game is awesome. And I think maybe, you know, a smart person that isn't a gamer could probably play that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a little more complicated version of chess, almost.
Yeah.
But, God, something about that game, like XCOM, you would, you know, the battles were fun, and then the resources you got, like, you know, when you're fighting the battles, you're thinking about the resources you're going to get, and then when you know, when you're at your base building stuff, you're thinking about how you're going to use these things in the battles.
Did you do a lot of quick saving? I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally cheated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, is it cheating, though? It is cheating, right?
Probably. I mean, if you want to be, like, true to the game, then, yeah, you can't quick save. And if you mess up real bad, go back.
I mean, that's what they... one of the modes doesn't let you quick save.
Yeah, like the hardcore mode. But come on, who's got the time?
Yeah.
I've got other games to play.
Yeah, exactly.
So other than Payday, you got anything on your sights for this week?
I played 10 seconds of Mighty Quest for Epic Loot. That game's dead. I went in, and what Chad was complaining about 2 weeks ago was that, you know, a lot of the dungeons have already been raided. So you can't get all the money that you can from had it not been raided. I just went in the game and saw not one castle raided. So that tells me that, like... nobody's playing, you know?
You think people are just over it? I mean, we could check on Steam. I think when I looked at the list today of, like, who's playing what game on Steam,
right.
You know, their peak of active users, and I don't remember seeing that game up on there.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and they list, like, the top 50. They list a lot.
It's eventually going to get to, like, 1,000 people, or 500 guys that are really into it, and they're all just warring against each other, I bet.
And now that's a game that... you'd think really depends on other people playing.
Yeah.
Like, it has to have
you
a community
have to. Yeah.
to survive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there's a few games that I have not... I'm looking at buying. I'm so close to buying them. If they're on sale, I'd snatch them right away. But you know me, I can't buy anything
is
without it.
Is there a spring sale? Is it
maybe
the one for every season?
They do a lot of sales. They find any excuse they can to make a sale. I'm surprised we didn't have a St. Patrick's Day sale.
Yeah.
They had a Valentine's Day sale.
Yeah, that's true.
But a few on my radar are, number one, Lifeless Planet. Very short game, very atmospheric. You're on, like, a foreign planet, and you're exploring it, and there's a lot of mystery, and it's very creepy and eerie. I had a friend who played it, said it was only, like, 2 hours long.
Hmm.
But it looks good. If you look it up on Steam, like, it looks like there's something about that game that makes it very appealing.
On my wish list, I have Starbound. I think it is.
Oh, right. Starbound?
Yeah. But it hasn't been on sale, so I'm not going to be.
That game has not gone on sale. That game's huge right now, though.
Yeah.
That's one of those open world ones that are just, like, really taking off.
It has roguelike things, and that's right up my alley, so.
Yeah. But, so Lifeless Planet, Space Engineers, which also looks really cool. I get a lot of space stuff here. But Space Engineers, I don't know. It's like an RPG simulation.
Is it co-op?
Open world. Yeah, it's co-op. It looks
like co-op.
It looks like Gravity. Like you're playing, like you're building a space station with your buddies out there and building ships and trying to like survive in this environment. It looks interesting.
Is there a 4-pack?
There might be.
That might be one of those things that we should do for the podcast for next week.
Yeah, maybe. I'd be down for that. I think it might have been on sale and I almost bought it and I really regret it now. Mm. But yeah, might grab that one. And a game that's really picking up a lot of attention is, have you seen this, what is it, Planet Explorers, Planet, let me
Planet see. Explorers, I think is what it was.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I think it might be Planet Explorers.
I took a look at it. Didn't look that pretty. I don't know, I'm a big graphics guy. Which is funny because I don't need a pretty woman. But my game's got to be pretty.
Yeah, Planet Explorers, that is what it is, or what it's called. And this is, what is this even classified as? I mean, it looked like kind of like a Rust kind of game, but I don't know, $25. Might have to wait for a sale on
that. A little steep. Especially since you have all those other games.
Yeah.
You already have Dragon Age?
I do have Dragon Age, yeah. I've got so much to play, it's ridiculous.
You either like the combat or hate the combat, but you can't deny the story in that game. The story is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm a tough sale when it comes to those like medieval type of games.
Yeah.
Like I'm sick of the genre. Yeah.
Mr. Shutdown, everybody.
Mr. Shutdown. We should just have a podcast where I just shut everything down.
Hey, want some ice cream? No, ice cream sucks.
Maybe we already do. I don't know. Should be on a new name. Mr. Shutdown. All right. So I think that's about it for me. What about you?
I'm all done.
All right, cool. So this has been another episode of Digital Logic PC Gaming. Tune in next week. Mondays is when we're posting the shows. You can check us out on Steam. DL Gaming is the group. Also, website is dlgaming.net, and you can email us at dudes@dlgaming.net.
You know, we always throw out all these different things that you could go do, and that do one thing. Join the Steam group. Either hit, yours is probably the easiest name, right, of all the people, D-I-G-E, or D-I-G-I. D-I-G-I. Yeah, just hit them up. D-I-G-I, Digi, on Steam. And everything else will go from there, because he has links on his homepage and all that. Listen to him.
My very colorful profile, man. I put some effort into the
level
profile.
Level 125 on Steam.
125.
Yep.
No joke, man. I'm getting up there.
You're going to leave a legacy, man.
I found out the highest level is 286. I got my sights on that guy.
I know you do, because you're buying shit just to buy it, just so you could run it, so you could get cards and shit.
Yeah. It's out of control, man. It's out of control.
You know, there's worse vices in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. We will be back. If you didn't figure it out by now, we upload Sundays and they're up Mondays, right?
Yep.
And
Monday is the day.
And
Monday
we stuck
morning.
To it, all right. Except for Chad.
Yeah, he'll be back.
We're going to have a discussion with that guy. All right, thanks.